Great. All right. Good evening, everyone. This is our subcommittee to update zoning procedures, our March 18th meeting. It's called to order at 6:10 p.m. Pledge allegiance. To the flag, United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all. All right, roll call. Members here, Al Miswitz, Dave Kupchansky, Bill Harris is here, and Paul Denise. Yeah. Everyone's in attendance. Any communications? I have not received any from outside the group. No. Okay, good. Public portion. Is there anyone from the public who would like to speak? I don't see anyone online, but that doesn't. So we'll try a second call. Anyone from the public would like to speak? Third and final, anyone from the public who would like to speak at this time? All right. So since no one from the public wishes to speak, we can move on to minutes, approval of the minutes of our last meeting. And full disclosure, my notes were not all that clear. So if there's any corrections that need to be made, you won't hurt my feelings at all. I was searching back in my memory to fill in some gaps, and I may have missed something.
I'll make a motion to approve.
Okay.
Second.
All in favor? Yeah, everyone was, it was unanimous. All right. Okay. Next item. So was to review the site plan application input from our zoning enforcement officer. I guess he hasn't had a chance to go over it, which is understandable.
Is he online right now?
I don't see online.
Kevin.
He's not. There's no one online. I got from your note that he might not be able to make this.
Actually, I got a telephone call from him today, and that's what he said.
Yeah.
That he wasn't going to be able to make it. But I wasn't sure if he met in person or even online.
But I think the important thing is he's got it. And
got it. Well, yeah, you know, Robert sent it.
I sent it, but I heard Rumor say they didn't get it.
Okay.
So I think somebody gives him a hard copy now, we have a hard copy. That's the best.
Should leave it downstairs in the building. That's but he should be able to. You sent it to him and he said he didn't receive it?
I didn't get any response from him on that. Oh, I got a response saying they wouldn't be able to make the meeting. Okay. Physically, they would call in.
Right. I would imagine. Yeah. Maybe we'll have Mark send it to
him. Yeah. No, I mean, with my computer, even my other committees, I'll send them a file, and half the time it's Scrabble. They say, I can't read the file. So
you have it. Well, you have an Apple device? Yeah. Sometimes Apple doesn't play nice with, it doesn't play nice with other people's operating systems. So,
you know, maybe we could have Mark or Lisa leave instructions for Lisa to send him a copy. Does Lisa have a copy of this? She should.
Not really his version. Yeah, we could just drop me one. So,
well, I think that's the important thing is get him a copy, make sure he's got a copy, get his input.
A hard copy, I mean, the thing is, he only comes in on Tuesdays. So if it's a hard copy, probably won't see it until next Tuesday. It's so much easier to send it.
Well, I like to say, I already sent this one. So the only thing he doesn't have.
So, yeah, he should confirm that he received it. Or ask him to.
No, I was able to open what you sent.
You were. Okay.
On my computer.
Okay. I see it's the bill and zoning.
Of course, I was able to open it up on my phone, which is an Apple phone. So I didn't send it. I'll see if I can open it up on my Lenovo eventually, you know, later. Not, I won't use the time up now. But I was able to look at it on my phone. I know that. So, but those are both Apple devices, so they would play this.
So are you guys on your meeting?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Is the main meeting going to be in here too?
No. My understanding is it's going to be in the other room. They'll be done.
How are you guys doing?
Good.
So
we need inputs from Kevin and anyone else?
Ryan. Kevin, Ryan, they're the main players.
All right.
Yeah.
We'd only send it to Kevin, but or did you send it to Ryan too?
Ryan McAvoy.
I could send it to him.
And then, so he's got it. So we should formally ask for his input.
Yeah.
Probably. And then is there anything that needs to be, is there any omissions from this? I recall a checklist. Wanted to be part of this or no? There is?
It's a partial of the checklist because basically it's coming straight from the book I was going to retype.
Oh, I see it. Okay. I'm sorry. I missed it. I was flipping through quickly and missed it. I see it.
Yeah.
Okay.
And
so
there may be one or two attachments since the last time that I made one of the last two attachments that weren't there. And feature, like I said, definitely needs some input. If it's too long, if it should be a flow chart, what's the easiest way to read it? If it's even saying who the right contact people are, I listed Kevin, and I listed
okay. So I'm going to say we can put this aside. Wait for these inputs. That's the next thing we need. All right.
Yeah. But I think it will translate to online fairly easily. File.
I agree with that too. Yeah. And it should move pretty quickly to be able to move quicker to.
It's just
fine. One of the great things about online is they can add gates. That you go. So you can set it up so that you can't skip things.
Yeah.
Right. And you have to fill in blanks before you can move to the next one and things like that nature. Or if you say, I don't need this, it'll allow you to skip to the thing you don't need. Yeah. So those are all subtleties that the programmer can build into it.
Yeah. And you could even put links in there.
So yeah.
If you need information, here's a link. This is where you're going
to find. If you want to download a document, there's a space to download a document. If you I've worked with a lot of tools like that.
City doesn't have a tech person, do they?
Well, the Board of Ed does, though.
What?
The Board of Ed has a tech guy. And I was going to suggest that if you wanted to get a tech guy, you might be able to borrow the guy that does the Board of Ed stuff.
Well, it's going to probably depend too on what
the only problem with that is every time you need to update something, you have to go back to somebody else's department.
Sometimes
they kick and scream.
Yeah.
I mean, they're not really employed by the city. It's a separate branch.
So you anticipate having people apply online?
Eventually, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
They could.
And with or without the input from the zoning.
Oh, with
the input. He's going to have to.
So it would have to be like interactive.
I could see someone going in and putting in an application.
Yeah.
It goes to Kevin. And Kevin calls the guy up and they go through the application together. So there's the input. And actually, that to me, that's like non-invasive input, right? That would be that people would be receptive to that because they say, hey, I got this guy's helping me now, right? And so you fill out,
so almost like a pre-app.
Yeah. The pre-app, they have
all the that's a way to look at it.
They got it in
film. And then once Kevin and the applicant agree that this is it,
then they go interactive.
Then they can go interactive and they can start putting things, and it starts going through gates, right? The gates that are required. And if Kevin's the only gate, then that's the only gate that they see.
Yeah.
And if there's other gates, then they can be linked in. That's where this process flow map starts to come in. That's part of this creation. Because now you're going to have to, now the document's going to have to move through all these organizations, right?
Yeah.
Until it ends up in a repository.
So they could infill the whole thing. And Kevin could look at it and he'll have a good idea of what they're planning to do. But then if they don't talk to Kevin before they infill it, they may find out they infill 3/4 of the stuff that they didn't need.
Right.
Well, that's what we're trying to avoid.
That's why it says a couple times talk.
It's almost a pre-application.
Yeah.
And then it gets to Kevin. Yeah. Kevin will know based upon what they're trying to do.
Yeah.
What items in the checklist need to be checked off and which ones are NA.
Yeah. And you know, if somebody hires Dominic, he'll build breeze through this more or less. But you know.
Well, you saw we have two applications in now, right? One that Dominic did for the hospital.
For Griffin Hospital,
right? And then the other for the bottle center, the gentleman who's applied for that, he's filled it out. So there's a case in point.
Both of them are woefully inactive.
But that's a good, I see that as the example. Yeah. That's what we wanted to get one to be consistent.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're trying to avoid.
Right.
That bottling center one, he sends a floor plan in of a gymnasium. He has parking there for a gymnasium. No parking for loading docks or anything like that around that plan. I mean, it's what?
Yeah.
They just figure out, we're going to throw something in. Planning and zoning figure it out.
Well, I don't know. I would.
Well, this way,
did you look at that?
I looked at it.
Well,
but again, what I'm thinking is that here's a guy that did it on his own and he was trying to save a dollar and didn't go get an engineer
that's
to help
him.
You can't save a dollar in the commercial industrial.
Right.
Can't save a dollar.
But I'm not,
save a dollar. You can't even save a dollar as a residential homeowner anymore because it's going to come back to bite you when you come to refinance. If you don't have the proper plans, the proper permit, all the area towns now with prospective sellers of their homes have to find the permits for when they put the addition down in 1980.
Yeah.
And if you're the building inspector,
are you going to approve it?
So there's no such thing as an easy way to do anything.
That's been around for a long
time. But it protects the homeowner and it protects the commercial entity or industrial entity that's applying for the permit.
And most importantly, it protects the banks because they're the ones that demand that.
There's no easy way to do it anymore.
No, there's not, Bill. I mean, and again, you know, and we hate to be in a position in this commission here.
And the other thing, too, is if you accept something that's not up to par for one person, you've got to do it for everybody.
Since the door has been opened on that, then what you're saying to me is we shouldn't accept the application.
We have to accept. When you get an application, the time starts ticking, whether it's complete, incomplete.
How did it get to us accepting it in that condition?
We have to accept it. We were required by law to
review. Kevin couldn't have turned it back.
No. He could. If he turns it back at the end of 65 days, it's approved.
But could he have turned it back before it? We haven't received it yet. That's why I'm asking the question, right? Is that how did it get on our agenda in that
because
condition.
Somebody brought it into the office.
The courts are going to say that's your responsibility. We don't care.
I understand that, but I'm saying I'm procedurally right because okay. We're talking about there's the applicant, and I mentioned before, but there's a process that this has to follow. Right. And everyone says that the zoning enforcement. So in my mind, my uneducated planning and zoning mind, because I'm not a planning and zoning, this first exposure to it. Well, I hear what you're saying. So I look at Kevin, he's the gatekeeper. Nothing should come into us that he says isn't ready to come to
us. That's completely against the general statutes. Right. If I came in with an application that I wrote on a piece of paper with pencil and said,
all right, so then the only recourse is with all these things that you've said are not correct in that application. Receive it and reject it. Do it right now.
You receive it. You give them 65 days to correct all the crap that you said is wrong. He's building up bills with Ryan. If he doesn't do it right the first time, it's costing him money and time.
Now you can reject the application, but here's the problem. You have to go through the process of looking at it because when you reject it, you have to say you don't meet section so-and-so of the regulations. And you have to spell those out. So you just can't say we're rejecting this application because it's not complete.
But that's not what you said. You said he sent in a picture of a gym. He doesn't have adequate parking. He doesn't have all these things.
Oh, we have.
So we have specific. That's what I'm saying.
We can't reject.
So, but I'm saying, why wouldn't you say here's all the things that are wrong with it? We're going to reject it without prejudice, so you can come back again.
We haven't technically reviewed it yet.
Well, you can't do that.
Yeah.
But you have to properly list. Yeah. If you don't list every single thing that's wrong with that plan, the applicant only has to address those items that you have.
So is that in this checklist here?
Well, you got the whole checklist that he's got, the site plan checklist. He's got to go off, pick off every single item.
So no matter
what. So do we have this checklist filled out for that application?
So that it's not a valid
application then?
I don't think the checklist was attached to the application, Bill.
I'm throwing out.
That's the whole point. In the real world, how it works. Somebody fills out the 2 pages of the site plan application. They throw it at Lisa, and they say, "Put me on the agenda for next planning application." God's honest truth, that's how that works.
Just in this case, he sent us a bunch of drawings and stuff, right?
And. It's questionable on whether or not the fee has even been attached to the application because I don't see it listed on the second page. Okay, so that's why, again, I mean, it's got to be a more formal submission process, okay, where you got to meet with this. I mean, I had it as a rule when I was downstairs. The application had to be in a 1 week before the night of the meeting.
So I've just come at it from another perspective, again, without a lot of experience in this world. But when I was submitting my stuff to my engineering management, when I wanted to get something done, right, there was things they called murder boards, right, where you would have to come in and defend your design, whatever it happened to be, against a room full of experts. And so I liken coming in to see planning and zoning as a murder board.
Because
you have to come in and you have to defend your design.
Right.
And I'm looking at you, Dave, because you asked the most pointed, and I don't think this is wrong. I think this is great. And I think Paul does the same thing, right? You guys are really good and you understand it, right? And so you're challenging, and very rightly so, you're challenging the guy to get it right. And there's nothing wrong with that. But the best outcomes are always the guy has the answers.
Right.
Right. And sometimes if he doesn't have the answers, then that's creates it. That makes it a negative experience. Because I used to feel so. I mean,
it's up to the applicant. If they have an engineer that's halfway on the ball,
right?
They know what they're doing. We don't act in a legislative capacity. when we're sitting on the zoning commission. We have a set of regulations. That application comes in, it has to meet those regulations. If we deny an application, we have to list those areas. What parts of the regulations don't we does not your application meet? So we list those. Now, if the application comes back and addresses those, we can't find new.
Well, I'm not suggesting areas. That. Okay. I'm suggesting that. So we have it. So what I'm trying to say is that in my mind, the only applications that should come before the commission should be perfect.
No,
there should
no,
be.
No,
that's not what the state statute is saying.
Yeah,
I'm not talking about state statute. I'm talking about the way you manage
that's what
this.
Governs us.
Right.
The state statute governs. We can't.
But they should be. Okay. All right.
State statute says that if an applicant submits an application, that the time clock starts on the first regular season.
I hear that. I hear that. Okay. I'm not.
It doesn't matter.
But that's when the decision has to be made. What I'm saying is that the quality of the application, one of the reasons for doing what we're doing is to raise the quality of the applications so that you don't get things in here that aren't right.
Right.
But by the same token, when they're not right, they can't get into, you know what I'm saying? What you're saying is that we have a checklist here, and that the checklist could have, you could have known errors surfaced in the checklist, and they still come in front of the commission. If that's okay, that's okay. But that's not.
Will it be denied?
Yeah, but you see, here's the problem. What if the zoning enforcement officer says, this isn't a perfect application, it's going to sit on my desk?
No, we can't.
65 days goes by, they're approved. We don't even know that application has come in.
Well, I'm not hung up on this. I'm hung up on how do you make sure that the applications
you can't.
Come in.
You
can't do it.
Most towns do it.
You can't do it.
Most towns.
Then why give it to Kevin?
Strongly advised.
Why not just let it go through?
Sit with someone who's going to accept the application. Okay, whether it be the zoning enforcement officer, whether it be the town planner, whether it be anybody. It shouldn't be wandering into the building department. Here's my application, okay? Which basically is happening right now downstairs. Okay.
So what are we doing? So are we doing anything to try and
we can't, but that very rarely happens. I think this is going to be a great guide. Anybody who really wants to submit a genuine application for development in town is going to follow this. They're not going to want to have any delay. You're going to find that they're going to want to meet with that zoning enforcement officer. They're going to see the process here and say, what do I have to do?
Yeah,
now, right. You're still going to get applicants that are going to say, oh my gosh, financially, I can't do this.
Right.
I can't hire an engineer. Well, those are the rules. Those are the rules. And you can't, we're not financial officers or loan officers.
And it's people. Some people are just stubborn, and no matter what you tell them, they're going to do it their way.
But okay. This is going to take care of 99% of the applicants.
Okay. All right. Then I'll.
But you know, somebody can, you know, when I was working for various towns, we still had an application that was mailed in a roll of plans with a check from Texas. If we did not address that, 65 days, that's approved.
No, I understand that. But again, my thought process says, if it comes in and it's incorrect,
say,
deny.
Well, you can deny it, but now you have to look at your regulations and say, what regulations does that application
have? Okay, so then we do that.
Yeah, we can do that.
You don't deny, you say, we need this information. You have 65 days to provide us with this information. If we don't get this information in 65 days, we're going to deny it with what we can list that you did not provide us with. That's how it goes.
I just find it's interesting that you can fill out a form incorrectly and it can go through to the approving authority.
And in the past, the way these general statutes came about was that applicants' applications were being held up.
Yes.
They were being held up by
if they don't like it, they
went down. And so, listen, it's not complete, and there was never a decision made on it. So that's how these time frames came about. There, you do have, unfortunately, you know, there's bad applicants, there's been bad boards.
Yeah, I mean, you could deny it on the grounds, Bill, not so much that it's incorrect, but it's incomplete.
Okay. There's
a difference.
But all right.
An incomplete application is different than
whichever is true. What I'm saying is that there's got to be a little teeth in the thing that puts that responsibility back on the applicant to submit something that you can
There is, but we have the responsibility to list what does that application have.
But I've never heard David say we shouldn't accept anything without telling me why. I have never heard him say. Every time David looks at one of these things, he comes in and he's got very pointed questions, and I don't always agree with the question he's at, but he's pulling up the regulation and he's pulling up it does happen. My experience has been, and the ones that are okay, David, I'm picking on David he'll come out and he'll say, you know, did you consider this? And the guy will say, yeah, I considered it, and here's why. So they have this conversation back and forth. So in my mind, right, when you get to the end of that
can happen. That's
well, certainly that can happen, but that's all. But you can also accept and deny in that too, because the acceptance and denial puts some onus back onto the applicant. The applicant, I understand, has to have certain rights, but so does the commission. And the commission has to say, why am I sitting here at 9:30 at night looking at something that is a bunch of, that came from the back end of a.
I know there's logic to it, but you know that we're under the state statutes. Right. Under the state statutes.
But the state statute allows you to accept and deny without prejudice.
To accept. We have to accept
it. Yeah, accepting doesn't mean
approve. Yeah. Like we can approve or deny approval. We can deny approval without prejudice. I mean, we got to say we got to accept it. But once we accept it, we can look at it and say, here's all the gaps in it.
Yes.
And if it's incomplete,
then you can deny it on that basis.
Send it back.
That's what they do. That's when Ryan sends them a big, long letter saying,
I would shut off the clock then. I would take it off the clock. I would say, we're denying it. It's denied and it's off the clock.
You got to have grounds to deny.
Well, you.
Yeah. Well, if it's incomplete, can you deny it?
Make a motion and say it does not meet Section 32.
But the applicant is not a mind reader, too.
Because
you may not think of it.
You know, there's stuff. Right. I agree. There's times you have to have that dialogue.
Because
where maybe they just made a mistake,
but that's what quality is all about, right? So if you, and so again, I'll go back to my when you raise quality standards, then you raise the quality of the work that you get. I worked on helicopters, things that fly. When they break, people die. So those were always the determining factors for us, is why we would do certain things that we did over and over and over again. And we drove those philosophies into our product development process and our product manufacturing processes with checks and balances. And we had guys that could reject without question. No, you're not going anywhere until you get an engineer down here to explain why I should accept this. And so those are extreme cases, but but what happens is that when you insist on those standards of quality, then the people giving you the stuff starts to give you that quality because they don't want it to hang around.
Well, this
right, is, and the same thing here. So
this is why you give them this. It's easy. They got the checklist. They got who they got to come see. Who they got to get letters from. All we got to do is look at it and say, it says here you're supposed to get a letter from the fire marshal. You never got one. It's right there. Well, we list reasons why we refuse the application. We say three letters never obtained. That were checked off that you had to obtain them. You know, here's your site plan, checklist. Here's 20 items that the inspector said you had to have in your drawings that aren't here. So these are why we're rejecting your thing. But you give them 65 days. It's
okay.
It's people. Not everybody is an engineer. People come in different. Like we've had applicants come in that have been in the country maybe 6 months, don't know anything, but they want to do a church. They have no like clue. So you put up with them, you help them out, and the ones we don't like is when you have a Dominic come in who knows he's got a complicated thing and he leaves half the crap out, and then he expects to go through it right.
Yeah, I think everybody'd be willing to help anyone.
Yeah.
You know, if they were deficient in application and they just didn't have the know-how to do that. But yeah, I think this is going to solve a lot of problems. I really do.
Okay.
Just noticed that.
I didn't. I apologize for pushing back too hard on it, but
no, just opened up something. There's one very important thing that I think is missing in this application, and that is going to be a statement of use.
I think he has it on there.
I don't see it.
Yeah, on the first page down the bottom. Where documentation to.
Oh no! But an explanation. Our regulations are very pointed.
They're right there.
Where is it?
They're right there. All the things in the regulation.
Attachment number 3. Yeah. Okay. That'll bring it
fun. Yeah.
Good. Because that weeds out a lot of a lot of the other checklist items.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
Knowing what are we doing here? You know, we don't need to get the chief of police involved.
Yeah.
And the public works commissioner involved.
And that's what we said, Brian. That's my big point.
But, Bill, to your point, and to you too, Albert, the average applicant, homeowner, you know, not a professional, you know, just a layperson, they're not good. Paul's 100% right. Zoning's not for amateur, okay? And you may get some pushback from people saying, why do I gotta have all this, you know, in there?
Yeah, we don't require it.
That's where you want the zoning enforcement officer.
Yeah.
Be the guy that explains it to him. Shouldn't be coming to the meeting, okay, and saying, and after we point out that you're missing X, Y, and Z, then we gotta deal.
Yeah. You know, well, if they do their homework and they read the first paragraph, it says, talk to the zoning enforcement officer, and he'll pull out all the crap you don't have to do.
Oh, no,
if they don't read that, then they're screwed.
You know, the other thing is, we're talking about written process here, but the other thing that you can't eliminate from the process is personalities.
Yeah.
And we all serve on a municipal board, and we don't want our time wasted.
Right.
It's a balance between helping people get an application through and serving the city.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So, you know, it's the responsibility of everyone to use that balance appropriately to help people that come in the door, but at the same time safeguard the city. And we don't want to waste our time either.
Yeah.
You know, but so it's a balance, and unfortunately sometimes it's personalities that occupy certain positions and personalities that occupy the boards that make the process either good or bad. So.
Okay. All right. So, good discussion.
You know, I don't think everyone in this subcommittee, I know that everyone in here wants to do what's best for the city, and that's what we're here for, to do this.
So, moving forward, I think the next application we'll have to have, it will be much easier. This is a special exception.
I think so too, because this is sort of a
foundation. For the special exception application, really, the only difference between the two is, number one, the special exception application requires a public hearing. And number two, it's different uses that are allowed by special exception as opposed to site plan. So site plan review, these are all, we're assuming that these are all going to be permitted uses in that zone.
Okay. So, so like with our mountain here, we're going to have a public hearing.
For what?
For our mountain.
Telescope.
We're
having, well, that's a subdivision now.
Oh, yes. We have to vote on
that. Is there any?
We have to vote.
Right.
Are there any site plan applications that we have public hearings
for? You can, absolutely. If the commission chooses to
have a discretionary thing, right?
Well,
right?
Yes. I kind of read the regulations. And it might be a question for the attorney. Maybe a site, in some instances, a site plan application may be required to be submitted with a special permit application. They run, and a lot of times, sometimes when you have a special permit application, the same questions that are in here, you want answered in your special permit. In other instances, you don't.
Yeah, right.
You know, maybe it's just a change of use.
That's right.
Is it appropriate in this this location?
You're 100%
right. If it's a package store, does it meet the criteria of being, it might be already a commercial building, does it meet the criteria of being far enough from a school and a church?
Yeah, and then again.
So right. I think we're, it's this kind of the same situation where the zoning officer is going to make a determination how detailed that application has to be.
Right.
I think Orange has a simple site plan application, don't they?
Yes, but here's the kicker. With that, we always require a site plan application with the special permit application.
Oh, yeah.
And that's what our regulations specifically say.
Yeah. So are we doing a special exception application or special permit application?
They're special. Well, you have to read closely how the regulations read, because sometimes they say special exception, special use. I don't have the regulations.
Ours reads special exception.
Special exception. Yeah. Sometimes that
means the same thing.
That's what I wanted to be sure of. I was hearing the same
thing. But in some other communities, it's not the same thing. A special use is different than a special exception.
Yes.
Okay. So you can have a special exception, not to put in all the required parking, but a special use is to get a particular use into a particular zone. Mm-hmm. So there's a distinct difference.
But so in Derby, would you submit a special
exception?
And then that would just be associated with the use of it, right? The statement of use would be the change.
In our zoning regulations, each zone enumerates permitted uses, it lists them, and then it lists special exceptions. Uses require a special exception application. They also require
public hearing,
site plans, but they do require public hearing, absolutely. Okay, there are limited cases where the commission could waive the public hearing part of a special exception if it's a minor change of use or something of that nature. And it actually explains it in the regulations, but
it's got to be.
You almost always, if it's going to involve, site work or even parking reconfiguration, it's going to require a site. Okay. Again, there's nuances on that, and it should be reviewed by the zoning enforcement officer to make a determination on what that application requires in order for the Planning and Zoning Commission to make a intelligent, legitimate decision on.
So have you guys had many special exceptions come before you?
So tight, we have just about 10 minutes left and then the regular meeting starts. So who can work on the special exception application?
I'll try to put together some of the differences between, and it's not a lot, Bill, the differences between the site plan application and the special exception.
Okay.
Well, you could work on that too.
Yeah, the only thing that I'm a little out, I'm going to be
in the Senate floor.
We're going to be away for a
while. Yeah, we're all going to be away.
I'll take a look at it too and maybe write you off.
I think what I want to do is I just listed differences between the two. You know, again, what's required in a special exception application that's not required in a site plan application.
So
and then we'll work from there.
Do you think the special exception could be just like in a separate sheet and then you just attach
it
the...
It might be a couple more. Yeah, it might just be a couple more.
That's how I'm thinking about it, but I'm just going to let the experts...
Okay. But...
that sounds like a good way to handle it, though.
The approval process for a special exception is different than for a site plan application, guys. And you should unfollow, I'm sure you know. If the application and the material that they submitted with it meets the letter of the regulations, you have no choice but to approve it. No choice. You got to approve it.
Right.
Special exception.
Well, you have,
could meet.
You have a special set of standards.
Yeah.
With a special exception that it may say something you have to meet community safety standards. It has to be in the welfare of the community.
Right.
So you have a little bit more subjective judgments to make than you normally do, because it's black and white when the site plan comes in. It meets the regulations or it doesn't.
Yeah.
But, you know, what is meeting the health, safety, and welfare of the community?
Yeah.
There's a little more subjective
judgment. That's up to those seven commissioners to determine.
So.
And of course, you got to be able to justify it.
And it required the public hearing. The process is a little different. When an application comes in, from that first meeting date, you have 35 days to schedule a public hearing. Right. And then you have 65 days to close.
Yeah. Decide.
And then you have another.
The applicant could ask for extensions.
Yeah, extensions could be.
Don't you have like a time frame to notify him and all that kind of thing too?
If there's a requirement,
our regulations require property owners within 150 feet of the subject property for special exception to be notified by certified mail return receipt. Yeah. Again, those are some of the differences we're going through them now, but that's
okay. So since this one sounds like it's going to be easy, do we have?
Well, it's going to be easier. Than this.
Yeah, I think this is a great. This is a great guide word for it. This is a great guide.
It was. Yeah. It's a lot of work, and I fully appreciate that.
For
what do we think the next one might be after this?
After special exception.
Yeah.
Sign permits.
No, wait a minute. We're authorized to do applications. We're not changing. I think we need to redo the zoning amendments for uses and the zoning amendments for map change.
So you want to leave the
those subdivision, are confusing.
You want to leave subdivision just as it is?
Well, subdivision maybe we do it. Subdivision actually, Albert, is not that bad. We need new subdivision regulations.
Yes, you do. And they're
not an application.
And they're horrible, even up online. I mean, they're tight.
Well, they're very, very vague. And you could kind of, which is generally bad, but it could be good too, because it does point to a couple different standards that luckily have been updated so that you're not at the mercy of the guy that was waiting. All they gotta do is meet this. If you remember that.
I don't think we're going to get too many subdivision applications here.
Uh-huh. We don't get that.
Small ones, maybe 2-3 lots, but I think there's only really one or two.
We haven't. Actually, two or we three. Haven't.
Actually, had, there's three pieces of property.
Well, we have, previous to this one here for the mountain, we haven't had one since 2013.
Yeah.
That's a long time. A lot of members never saw a subdivision application.
Okay. The one thing we did skip over was reviewing alternatives for online applications. Gino had some homework there. What's the software tool we're going to use, right? So I'm going to table that. I'm going to say we're going to table that for the conversation for the time being to focus on getting the documents created.
Yeah,
and then
I would definitely want to get some feedback from Kevin White and from Lisa.
It's a matter of finances, and it's got to come to the community at some point.
Well, if this ever kicks off, they'll be worth the investment.
So I agree with you because I agree with you, Duke. But, you know, the problem is that our community is a little under financial strain at the moment.
Well, I would think the state would have some kind of grants for that.
You need the support of the administration too, because what you're doing with this electronic system is now you're changing the work schedule of all these various department heads, and I think they're ultimately going to like it, but you know, some guys are, I mean even in some of the other towns where I worked, they were kicking and screaming, I don't want to do this, I don't have to get on my computer in the morning. But you know what, you can track everything. You can track everything and nothing gets missed.
And it
gives you a historic archive of how things got approved.
9-date stamp.
How it went through the process. And you know, not only does it do that for the permitting process, but now you can look at it in terms of the income and cost benefits and how much did the engineer spend on his time for the city.
So much benefit out of it.
Are we ready? Are they out in there yet?
Oh yeah, they've been off for half an hour.
Oh, all right. So we'll table item 8 on the agenda for another conversation. So that just leaves a motion to adjourn.
I'll make the motion to adjourn.
Second. Al, second. All in favor? Aye. Thank you, gentlemen. Another good meeting. If they were making progress. We're on our way.
I hope everybody else likes it.
I think they will.
Kevin has them.
So what is Kevin's hours?
Tuesdays.
Tuesday, what time?
Usually in